There we go.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. It's right after Philemon, which is a tiny little book. After Thessalonians, after Timothy. The T's into the H. T-H. P-H. Hebrews, chapter 10, one verse, verse 7. Then said I, who is I? Jesus. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we are written in the books too. We thank you, Lord, that you have what I would call a sacred library, Lord, of books. And Father, that you record all things. In fact, you have recorded many things that have not even occurred yet, Lord. We just thank you for your omniscience, your all-knowingness, Lord, for your omnipotence, your all-powerfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are the only true God. There is no Allah. He's a figment of somebody's imagination. There is no other God but you, because you have said so. You are the Lord God. There is no other. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have chosen us from before the foundation of the world to be found in Christ Jesus. Make us into the holy creatures that you desire us to be, Lord God. Transform us by the renewing of our minds, Lord God. And Father, speak to each heart here this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. I have to be careful how I modulate my voice because my... Among other things, my hearing is going too. So, it's all going at once. My eyesight, I have to get to an optometrist. Everybody in the back row is a blur. It's all going at once. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. If I were to title this message, I'd call it God's Sacred Library. A couple scriptures, a couple more. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that word settled means stands firm. It's set. God's word is set in heaven. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And where is God? In heaven. Praise be to God. The book that we're talking about here, that's the word biblion. In Greek, it's where we get our word Bible. Praise be to God. Excuse me. It's the same compilation of scriptures that we have in our Holy Bible. Obviously, it originated in heaven and was transmitted to us by the Holy Spirit, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And He made sure that He put in our hands exactly the revelation that He wants us to have. And it's all found here, the authorized King James Version Amen. Of the Bible. Praise God. If you read another translation, that's okay. There is a church in the area where if the pastor, if you don't have the King James, you can't attend his church. Right. You come with any other translation, you're out of here. We don't go. I just happen to believe that the King James is the best out there. But and plus, it's what I did all my memorization on. So praise God. Now, while secular books, and I'm going to give you a big word, pseudepigraphic books. These are the so-called lost books of the Bible, you know, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, these different things that were written by people hundreds of years after the fact, and they put somebody's name on it, and a lot of people have fallen for those things. But all of those, the secular books, those false books, have fallen into the black hole of history. But one book remains, and that's the Bible. And even despite many attempts to obliterate it from the face of the earth, it's still the number one bestseller throughout all history. And that includes times when it wasn't even available to people. You had to go underground to get it when it was only made available to Catholic priests, and then only in Latin. And when it was finally put in the hands of the common people, the Catholic Church was very angry, because then people like Louise could see what the Bible really says, as opposed to what the Church was teaching. Praise be to God. I'm so grateful that we have the Word, you know, and we should not neglect so great a salvation. It's all in there, and we can meditate on it. And you know, you could take that one scripture that we just read and spend a week on it and never exhaust it, all the meanings that it has. And God can speak to us through any book. You know, people say, oh, it's a dusty old book. You can take any scripture and it can speak in today's relevance at any time to anyone. Praise be to God.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, beautiful work that God has given us, a beautiful book from His sacred library. God's Word will remain. I love what it says in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. David says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." And then he goes on to say, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." He's done a good job of that, hasn't he? It's been a long time, and yet we have the book preserved by God Almighty. Hallelujah. And it doesn't take much of the book. I remember reading, and I think it was from Voice of the Martyrs, someone who just a little, I forget what the words were, I wish I could remember it, but it was had been a shipwreck, and these people lived on this island, and one little piece of a page from a Bible drifted up on the beach, and the woman looked at it, and she meditated. She was saying, "I wonder, what does this mean? What does this mean?" And she meditated on it, and finally God revealed Himself to her, and she was saved right there from one little scrap of a piece of Bible, from one little word. This is the bread of life. We have the whole loaf, but one little crumb can not only get us saved, but it can minister to somebody else if that word is a word in season. Praise be to God. And it can only be in season if it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." That's what Jesus said. That's from the living Word Himself. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. God has promised to preserve it. What He inspired from His heavenly library, He has promised to preserve from generation to generation. And these are the words of eternal life. There are no other words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Praise be to God.
Amen.
You know, I've reached points in my Christian walk earlier on where I wanted to give it up, you know? Where it was just, you know, "Lord, I'm not hearing from you," or "the things are just going so haywire in my life. And, you know, what's the use? Here I am, I'm on my knees, I'm reading a psalm, and it's not speaking to me." And then I would finally come to the place where else am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where can I go? And then he draws you back, and then he lifts you up and dusts you off and gets you back on the way again, and praise be to God. Where else can we go? Where else would we want to go?
Amen.
Than into the Word. Praise God. And anyone who tampers with it is on their own. You say, you know, we use that expression, God help them. Well, you tamper with the Word of God, God is not going to help. Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And the clincher, Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The Bible is only one book, though, that makes up God's sacred library. Look at Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. Again, a psalm of David, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And I'm going to quote from another translation. The Amplified, 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. God sees the end from the beginning, doesn't he? God put everything about us, each one of us being unique, in his book. It contains, I'm sure, our DNA, our fingerprints, our eye color, hair, the very hairs of our head are numbered. Each one of us is a unique, special creation. And God says he keeps it all in a book. You know, I remember when I loved both my children with all my heart, but Dakota was my first. And I remember the experience being in that hospital room and taking her in my arms for the first time and checking all those little parts, you know, the toes and the fingers, the tiny fingers and the little lips and all those things. And I wonder if God takes out his book and checks us out sometimes, you know. The book of Richard. Oh my God, there's a horror. But takes it out to look, you know, and sees, oh wow, yes, I remember when you were just, you know, 5 years old and you were whiny because you didn't want to be separated from your best friend when they were trying to put you on the school bus. I remember that. And you screamed so bloody loud, they finally said, all right, get on the bus. We did wind up together, you know. I made such a fuss. I didn't want to be separated from him. Now I can't stand him. But I mean, I pray for him, but he became a Jehovah's Witness, you know. I don't know, of all things. But at any rate, God has it all in a book. And he sees our life. He looks ahead. You know, a person is born, they're formed in the womb. And, you know, God, to me, you know, there's no such thing as, you know, when did life begin? It began in eternity past, because God said to Jeremiah, you know, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. Praise be to God. doesn't begin at conception. It began long before then in the mind of God, in the heart of God. But he keeps all this information in a book. And I'm sure it's not a literal book, but, you know, he gives us things that we can, you know, picture, concepts that are beyond our understanding. And I wonder about some of those other books. How about the book of Hitler, or the book of Stalin, or the book of Mao? Does he look in that book? And he knew from the foundation that they, what they were going to do. And I wonder if he shakes his head in sadness about what could have been. Because God is willing that none perish. And God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's why he calls, repent. Repent, I tell you. Ezekiel 33. I wonder if we'll ever get a look at that book. I'm sure that at least parts of our life will be flashed before us, at least the part from the time when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. From that point on, I don't think we're going to get to see much before that, because it's all under the blood and it's all old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But he sees and he saw all the wrong choices that we were going to make and all the right moves that we were going to make in our lives. And you know, his thoughts for us have always been good and not for evil. That's what it says in Jeremiah 29:11, to give you hope in your final outcome, as it says in the Amplified. God has good thoughts towards us. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us become everything he created us to become. And the good thing is that since he saw it all in advance, you know, Craig says this all the time, because he already knew what I was going to do, he can't be disappointed. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if God is, you know, if he gets disappointed or not, but I'm sure it makes him sad, you know, when we fall short of what he wanted us to be. I'm sure he was extremely sad, even though he knew it was going to happen, that Adam and Eve fell after he had created them so perfectly and given them such a perfect environment. They could still be tempted by the devil and fall. I do know that this book emphasizes God's absolute sovereignty over life and death. There is just no doubt about it, regardless of, you know, your view of God or any of his ways. The one thing that we can never escape is that he's absolutely sovereign. He is the Prince of Life. And like Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what he chooses to do or allows to happen in our lives, we can still praise him and bless him, can't we?
Amen.
The next book is sort of what I like to think of as God's scrapbook. If you look in Malachi chapter 3, you know where I'm going with this one. Malachi chapter 3, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Praise be to God. Malachi 3, verses 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Praise be to God. Note that God's book of remembrance records not only the actions of people, but their thoughts as well. Every thought is in there. Walt mentioned, that I mentioned a while back, that private room that we all have, that we want to keep everybody else out of, and we can't because we haven't gotten to the point in our technology yet where people can read our minds, although I think that may be over the horizon. But we can't keep it from God, and He sees right through the walls of that room, no matter how many defense mechanisms or whatever it is that we've built up over the years to not allow anybody in there or to not allow whatever hurts might have come and gripped us at some point. And we all have those defense mechanisms. God breaks through them all. He sees through them all. He sees every thought. And it's all recorded. You know, just like in the books of the kings in the Old Covenant. That's how Mordecai came to be rewarded in the book of Esther, because the king was looking through the books of the archives of the acts of the different kings, and he saw that Mordecai had intervened and saved the king's life, and he was rewarded for it. In the same way, God has a record of everything that anyone has ever done, said, or thought. And that is incredible. How awesome is our God. Amen?
Amen.
How awesome. So God promises rewards for those who serve Him and honor Him, suffer for Him, and treasure His holy name. Praise be to God. And some suffer more than others, don't they? You can read any of those Voice of the Martyrs books or newsletters and see how people are suffering even now all over the world for the faith. You know, years ago I'd looked up and there was something like 300,000 martyrs, Christian martyrs, per year. It's doubled since I last looked at that, and that was about 15 years ago. There are so many Christians being killed, especially in places like Nigeria, of course North Korea, China, all over the world, people suffering. And we need to keep them in prayer, as well as each other here, because even though they're maybe stuck in some little damp hole underground, God knows that they're there, and He cares for them, and He wants them to be prayed for, and hopefully they're praying for us, because I think we need it more than they do. Psalm 56, verse 8. God is aware of all of our suffering, even if it's done in the most private places of our lives. Psalm 56, 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You know, ancient tear bottles, they were wineskin-like containers, have actually been excavated in Israel. They were used to collect one's tears in times of grief. Somebody died, and they would put these tears into these containers. And if you just turn for a minute to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36, Jesus is invited to dinner at the home of Pharisees. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. I wonder if that was one of those tear bottles that she poured out, collecting her tears of grief and repentance over her sinner. It says that she was a sinner. We all are. But since it's emphasized there, she must have been committed some very serious sins. and she must have repented over them and wept over them. Have you ever wept over something you've done? You can't take it back, but you've done it, and she may have collected those tears and then poured them out on Jesus' feet in her place of repentance, seeking Jesus' forgiveness. And you can be sure that she received it. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And giving an account, I'm sure our actions and our thoughts will be revealed there. But noticeably missing will be those thoughts, words, and deeds that are under the blood, that have been paid for, covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Not so for the unbelievers who die outside of Christ and in their sins. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Some more books are talked about here. Revelation 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's when everything is going to be revealed. Everything. The sinners will have no place to hide. We can hide in the precious spirit and blood and arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. They'll have no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This is the second resurrection. We want to be part of the first resurrection. No matter how it all unfolds, sequence-wise, there is a first resurrection. And then there is a second resurrection. And the second one is for all those who have rejected God's means of salvation, which is faith in Jesus Christ. And their names are not written in the book of life. And so what are they judged by? Their works. That's what the other book is. There's a book of life and a book of works. And God is going to look. I mean, you know, I've thought of this numerous times when I've been praying for people who have yet to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and thought of the eyes of the Lord going down that book and not finding their name. And, you know, they're crying out. But it must be there. It has to be there. And since it's not there, turning to the other book. Well, here are your works. Since you rejected Jesus and his death for you, and the wages of sin is death, let's see your works, how they stack up. And we know that they won't stack up at all, because there is none righteous, no, not one. And by the books or the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only a fearful looking for of judgment. Amen? It's a horrible, horrible thought that all of these people who rejected God's means of salvation, who refused to get into the ark, even though he opened the door for them and wanted to shut them in, will have to be judged based on their works. And they'll just be naked before the Lord, just as Adam and Eve were after the fall. Nothing to cover their sins. Do you ever wish you could take something back? Something you said? Maybe a fist swung in anger? Or something that really hurt someone? Well, we can't, like God. You know, God throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. We don't have the capacity, like God does, to forget about things that we have said or done. But we can know that it's under the precious blood of Jesus. It's covered. And therefore, even if we remember it sometimes, something that we said or did that was of a sinful nature, we can know by faith that God has covered it and that we don't have to worry about paying for it. Here, everybody's, who is not covered by that blood, everybody's sin is just wide open. And God will look at them and say, what do you have to cover that? There is nothing. Nothing that can cover it except the blood of Jesus shed on their behalf. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can't take it back, but we can know that it's covered at least. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Best of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because He set us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And we serve under a new law now. The Spirit of the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then there's that book of life that is mentioned there and throughout all of Scripture. The first reference is way back in Exodus 32:33. And if we take all of those references as a whole, it appears that there is a book of life. And those who come to the end of their life outside of Christ, never receiving that gift of eternal life, are blotted out of that book. There was a custom in cities where they would list the names of everybody who was born into that city or village, and then those who died were crossed out. And spiritually dying gets our name blotted out of that book. Revelation 3:5, and then I'll close with one other thought. He that overcometh, the Lord Jesus speaking, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What is it that overcomes? Even our faith. Amen. That's how we are overcomers, by keeping the faith. Faith, initial saving faith in Jesus Christ, continuing in that faith right up until the very end. Now, from the books, you can see that we are written in more than one of them, God's sacred books. And just as Jesus was, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. It's not written of me in here that I know of, unless there's some Bible code that I don't know of that puts my name in there. But there are other books that God has that I am contained in. Praise be to God. And the most important one, of course, is the book of life. But Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it was written of him that what? I come to do thy will, O God. And that has to be our guiding principle. Lord, I'm here to do your will, whatever it may entail. And, you know, who knows? There may be somebody in here who he's going to send to Indonesia, or to what's the place, the Sudan, or some other place, to minister to people there, to share the gospel. And are we willing? You know, sometimes God is just looking for that willingness, as he was with Abraham. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son of promise, Isaac, rather than not do God's will. And God stayed his hand. He'll do that oftentimes. He just wants to see if we will be willing to do what he wants. I know I've shared it before, but when I was at loose ends and didn't know, you know, God was calling me into the Methodist Church, and I didn't know that yet, and I was at loose ends, and I said, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, and I said it here, but I didn't really mean it here, because I didn't want to be separated from my children. And I was out running one day, and God just put it upon my heart. He said, it's got to be from here. I want to hear it from here. I'm pointing to my heart, let the record show. And I just wept. You know, I was running around this lake, and I just wept. And by the time I got back, I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And I was living in Rock Hill, and he moved me to Canosa Lake. I can live with that. But he wanted to see if I'd be willing to go wherever he wanted me to go. And it wasn't until I said, yes, whatever, Lord, that, and he knew I was willing to do his will, that he opened that door for me, because he's a gracious and merciful God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we are written in the book of life, those of us who know Jesus as Savior. Father, we do pray for all those whose names are not there, Lord, who will face that judgment seat, that great throne of judgment. Some people say it's the Father, but Jesus said, all judgment is committed unto me, so I believe it will be Jesus who will do the judging. And look into the eyes of he who gave his very life in order to buy their salvation. And they will be, at that point, certainly, without excuse. Father, we pray for their souls. We pray, Lord, for all our loved ones who are not in the kingdom, Lord, who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus. Father, all of our friends and acquaintances, Lord, all those that we come in contact with, and many that we don't, Father, that we just know about, Father, we pray for our national leaders, Lord, who, many of whom have not come to realize that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God and to hate all evil. Father, we pray for their souls. We pray that you will draw them unto Jesus, Lord God, that they might make decisions that are in line with your will instead of opposed to it. And Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you know us, you know the end from the beginning, and that you have good thoughts toward us to give us a hope and an expected end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Close with a psalm. The altar will be open for prayer.